This is Jones and Keefe.
1-1, the pitch. Swing and a high drive into left field. This thing back at the track. It's at the wall. It is gone! Say done. Say hello to Baltimore. 2-run bomb. Ice in his veins. 3-2 Red Sox. 3 balls, 2 strikes, 2 down in the ninth. Sox lead by a run. Chapman is ready. At the chin, he delivers. And that is strike 3 called. Fastball right there. Chapman stares in, and the Red Sox win it. 3-2. Seydon, a 2-run bomb. Chapman, another overwhelming save. His 26th, and the Red Sox have won the series in Baltimore.
Jones and Keefe, right now on WEEI.
Are you ready for a signature win, Keefe?
I am ready for a signature win. Is that what that was?
Well,
I'm ready for one. I don't know if that was.
Can you have a signature win against the Baltimore Orioles? I'm going to tell you why I think you can.
I don't think you can.
Okay.
I don't think you
can. So not even a signature win?
No, I think maybe, you know, those... Pick a win from the Yankee series, maybe. Felt a little bit more like a signature win. I thought it was a good win the way that it happened, but the Orioles are bad. Like, the Orioles have been in last place all season.
Was Rafaela's walk-off against Tampa a win? Because Tampa kind of sucks.
Yeah, but that, better than Baltimore.
They are better than Baltimore. That was also... I mean, Fenway was nuts for that one. That was a home game with the lights going off.
That's true.
It felt like a big one for the Red Sox for a bunch of reasons, chiefly because everybody around them won last night.
You don't see
this a lot in the standings, which is why I would make a case that was a big swing signature win last night for the Sox with Seydon Rafaela, who, by the way,
I was gonna say, specifically because of him,
was right in the middle
of a
big mix-up with Jaron Duran 2 innings prior.
That was bizarre.
It was very strange.
I'm surprised Bayo didn't run out there. If you're a pitcher and that happens, how do you not run out there and like get in their faces? So you have these two outfielders. One of them we think is one of the great defensive center fielders in the game.
Yeah.
Maybe the best. Everybody tells me he's the best in center field. Jaron Duran, we've seen his ups and downs out there.
I was going to say, I'm not surprised Duran was involved in a play like that. I'm shocked Rafaela was.
But 2 outs, and the two of them are just standing there, and it lands in between them. It's like, even in high school, you don't see that.
Yeah,
you're like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
And then in comes a run. You're like, all right, that wasn't great. And then, lo and behold, those two guys, a couple innings later, get on base, hit a home run, and they win the game. It's pretty amazing that those two were like, yeah, that's on us. That's on us. We screwed up, but we'll make up for it. Don't worry about it. And they did.
So signature win, maybe too strong. You can agree or disagree
it's a
there.
A little much.
On the phone, 617-779-7937. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Blue Jays won last night. The Yankees won last night. The Mariners, Royals, Rangers, Guardians, if you even count that, like legitimately everybody around them won last night. So if signature win is too strong, Keith, that was a big swing victory for the Red Sox last night because a lot of teams would have gained ground on a very frustrating play between Rafaela and Duran. So at minimum, it's a big swing game if signature win is too strong.
Yeah, it keeps them in the top wild card spot, but I don't think I feel like they're really in jeopardy of missing the playoffs. Now, you're never going to, we've seen this team have big leads, or this franchise, I should say, have leads in the standing, and then it slips away. So you don't want to, convince yourself they're in it until they actually are. So it was an important win based off of everything around it. And it was a fun comeback win and all that stuff. Dramatic win. But they've had some of these ninth inning wins, right? They've had some pretty exciting walk-offs. This wasn't a walk-off, obviously, as they're on the road, but they've had some pretty exciting wins before. But again, because it's the Orioles, and had the Yankees and Mariners and the Blue Jays, let's say, lost last night, you're just like, all right, 1-run win, beat the Orioles, now go for the sweep tomorrow. It's sort of what you'd be thinking. So I'll take it. Good stuff. Another good pitching performance. Another insane closing appearance by the best closer in baseball.
Guy doesn't give up hits.
That last at bat,
and you heard some of it there on the Will Fleming call. But that last at bat was kind of crazy. Just like a scrub, a scrub up there, fouling off pitch after pitch after pitch.
You're like, what?
And then he finally stands there with the bat on his shoulder.
Two nights ago, I think it was the last batter that Giolito got out, because he was like starting to lose his control a little bit, and he just kept fouling him off, fouling him off.
Yeah,
like,
similar.
Oh my God,
bat, right?
It's a war. Yeah. Like, let's get it. So, yeah, that was a battle, and Chapman got the best of him. You want a quick warm take as it relates to Chapman?
Yeah.
He's been so freaking good, I kind of want him to give up a run before the playoffs. Because I feel like he's going to go into with some insane streak, like in the playoffs.
07 Pats logic.
Yes, yes.
Chapman
on the mound,
mix
and they're
it,
like, hasn't given up a run since April. And you're like, what? And then he goes out there, and that's what would happen. It was like Emmanuel Clase last year. Remember how good he was? And then in the playoffs, he just like...
No, that's your guy. I mean, I know.
I mean, he was betting on the games, but... He was great. He was betting on himself, clearly, until the playoffs.
Sure.
And then things went sideways. But, no, Chapman...
Good juice on the opponent in October, I think.
Cashed. But, yeah, no, every time you watch Chapman now, you just... Not only are you like, he's not going to give up a run, you're like, he's not going to give up a base runner.
Good warm take.
Maybe allow one.
Good
maybe
warm take. Hey, Chapman?
Chapman.
Like, Cora, maybe pitch him for four outs or something like that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, pitch him 3 days in a row. Because he's not going to give up any runs in the meantime. Have him give up a run, get that out of his system, flush the system.
Yeah.
Get a nice pre-postseason cleanse for Chapman.
Do you know how many earned runs? I mean, it's not actually that far. It's only one off from runs total. But earned runs Chapman has allowed this season.
He gave up, what series was it? He gave up a home run where they asked him to get four outs. I'm trying to remember who that was against.
Oh, yeah, right.
I remember
that. Was it the White Sox?
No, maybe he gave up one.
He definitely gave up a run against the White Sox.
He gave up a home run. The last run he allowed was a home run to the Phillies.
When he was trying to get four outs, right?
It was a blown save in 11 innings against the Phillies, which they actually did win that game.
Did he give up one, like, right away against Texas at the beginning of the year?
He gave up a home run to the White Sox.
Okay, so Nick remembered that. White Sox.
He actually...
Is it like three earned runs? Like, what is it?
Six earned runs.
Five or six?
Seven.
Nope, six.
That's correct.
Six earned runs all season.
All year.
And two of them were in April to the White Sox in two different games against the White Sox. How weird is that?
All right, well, good news is he will not be facing the White
Sox
in October.
Doesn't worry about
that. Yeah, it's true.
So he gave up two earned runs in April. He gave up three earned runs in May. He gave up zero earned runs in June.
Yep.
One in July and zero in August.
How many hits has he given up in August? Any?
No.
He hasn't given up a hit in August.
No, he has not. He's thrown more than a no-hitter. He's thrown 10 innings.
No, I think since that Phillies game, I think he's given up a hit.
That's unbelievable.
He's 10.
Yeah, he's done that twice this year.
Yeah,
I think in June he didn't do it.
You remember when Breslow signed him? We both were like,
this guy. Get him out of here.
A couple of baseball
Now
guys
I'm like,
here.
If you need to sign him to a 7-year deal, you do it. You do it today.
Seven.
10 innings this month. No runs, no hits, one walk, 12 Ks.
All right, well, this does tie in
and
nicely.
And Nick's right. In the month of June, he gave up two total hits and no runs.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's going to work.
He's outrageous.
So it does tie in with what I think is the question coming out of last night's game. Is this the kind of team you should trust in close games? And I define that as one-run games. Because remember, an early criticism of this team this year, Alex Cora, when we were all ready to fire him, which I don't feel as bad about that one as the Chapman take.
No.
But when we were all ready to fire the manager, and they were something like, I don't remember the exact record, they were something like 6-18 in one-run games.
It was definitely like worse than 10 games under. Yeah.
And I remember Cora saying at the time, and I thought it was an unsatisfactory excuse just because you can't just point to the math and say, well, it's all going to level out, and one-run game, some of it is luck. I acknowledge it's luck. I still don't want to hear the manager say that as an excuse after a bad loss. Like, oh, well, you know, we're due. But they're now up to 19-24 in one-run games, which is still a losing record, but that's a massive, massive turnaround. Are we to the point where we should trust them in these close games, Keith? And if so, I'd imagine Chapman is a big factor in why you would.
Chapman's a huge factor, but so is Whitlock. Right, like I think so. Now you're talking about if you have a lead or the game is tied after seven innings, I feel like, all right,
seven.
You have as good a chance as anybody, don't you?
Yeah,
like that. I mean, Chapman's been insane, and even Whitlock, like they were showing the numbers. We were highlighting, you know, starting pitchers since June 10th, for example, right? And they had three of the five best starting pitchers in the American League for ERA. But even if you were, I think if you go back to June, I forget what date people are targeting. So there obviously was one blow up in there somewhere. So let's say it was like June 8th, maybe. It's the relief ERA is just as good as the starter ERA.
I think the date was June 10th, the one we were referencing
was
yesterday.
Was it? No, yeah, that was
for
the starter.
For Giolito and Bayo.
I saw another one last night.
ERA is a little before.
But they're great, though. Yeah. Like, the bullpen has also been really, really good over that time. So, yeah, I do feel better about it. You know, it's hard to put a lot on a 21-year-old as well, but a lot of those one-run losses, Roman Anthony wasn't on the team yet.
True.
And that's just another bat. That's just another like quality at bat every time he's up. It seems like something good comes of it when he's up there. Bregman probably, I'm guessing, was out for a lot of those games too. So having like those two guys in there, plus the way this pitching staff has kind of turned things around, I do have more confidence in it. Plus, if you're talking about home versus road,
yeah.
I mean, home, they were already had like a decent record anyway. It was on the road. It was brutal. One run on the road. And so you see yesterday, another example of them getting a win in that situation where 3 months ago, maybe it goes the other way. Maybe after a miscommunication in the outfield that directly leads to a loss. Now things feel different.
Yeah. I mean, it is a case, and you see momentum or the old cliche, you know, when things are going well, they tend to work out. I do feel like there's a lot of that going on with the Red Sox. You want to chalk it up to vibes. That's another sort of intangible way to discuss it. But I do think all of that is true with the way the team's playing right now. Even if it's corny and hard to quantify, I do feel like it's true with the way the team's trending. And they have been much better in one-run games, close games. Some of that is a guy like Chapman, who is shutting it down at the end of games. Although, the text line is pointing out, Keith.
Yeah.
The last time you praised a reliever, it was Jordan Hicks.
Well, no, I was hopeful. He throws gas.
I mean, I was.
Does he not throw gas?
I was complimenting. I haven't seen him in a while. Is he still throwing gas?
Does he look like the guy from Ironheart? Yes, he does.
I was complimenting Alcala at the exact same time. He's no longer on the team.
No.
I'm not sure he caught on anywhere.
No, but Chapman's doing well.
Yeah.
No, but this is also the formula. If you look at the four World Series teams, now some of it by the end of the year, things were a little bit more in flux. But look at the four World Series teams since 2004, the four winning teams. A starter, dominant closer. You needed that every time. Now, you also needed like a David Ortiz or like a Manny or a Mookie. But I'm saying, pitching-wise,
2018 was a little different, right? Because Kimbrel didn't really survive the postseason. But all regular season, you're right.
So Kimbrel that's what I'm saying. Yeah. No, and that's why I'm saying, all right, maybe things get a little wonky and maybe, you know, Garrett Crochet ends up closing the World Series or something, right? Like, that's not what you had. But for the 2018 season, you had Sale and you had Kimbrel. By the playoffs, you're right, Kimbrel wasn't as reliable, but by the end of August, like in 2018, at this time, we were talking about you have those guys, so you felt like if you had a lead late, they were going to lock it down, and then it got a little away from them, but still, that's sort of the borderline, whether it was Folk, Papelbon, Uehara, or Kimbrel, like those are four all-star dominant closers for their time. Chapman is right there with all those guys.
Yeah. Some of it, too, beyond Chapman, the way they played in one-run games and close games and turned that around, and it feels like they have it rolling there. Some of it is guys who feel clutch. Like, Rafaela hasn't been hitting at all.
No.
Since the all-star.
No, he's cooled. Even Cora was, like, making fun of him.
And right? Like, they sat him down for a stretch
or
a game here or there. Lou started referencing, at least was the first place I saw it, it coincides with asking him to play second base and move around.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I want guys to be flexible. I'm not going to walk back any criticism I had of Devers. Like, if they ask you to play second base, you should play second base. If they ask you to play short, center field, whatever, with Rafaela, you should. But was that impacting him at the plate? Maybe. I mean, maybe he was taking one for the team, and it was personally forcing him to sacrifice a little bit on the field. But it does feel like a guy you want up in big spots.
Yeah.
And maybe that's anecdotal. It goes back to the Tampa series. It goes back to last night.
No, but even Rafael a year ago, you remember like his rookie year, he had a ton of RBI. And I know a lot of like advanced stats people are like, RBI don't matter, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I don't know, like when runners were on, he seemed to hit better. Like he had a knack for it. What do you have, like 75 RBI or something? He had like a good total.
He's hitting like 400 with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
And he was hitting like 215 in the season.
Yeah. You're like, so something's up. Like something, mm-hmm. he kind of lives for those moments a little bit more. But how many like different guys have we seen with the big hit? You know, my guy, Trevor Story, who I've always liked and supported.
Yeah, you've never doubted.
Nope. Like Roman Anthony and Bregman are kind of obvious ones. But even Jaron Duran's had signature moments this year. And now you're talking about, you know, half your lineup. you know, Willie Abreu when he's back. Like they've had a bunch of guys come through in those moments.
So a lot to get to on the show today at 617-779-7937. You can weigh in there on the Red Sox. We'll get into their ceiling and what it actually is. Speaking of which, it's a short show today, Keith.
What?
We're done at noon-ish. We're going to hang out with Joe Weil
and
do some Red Sox pregame with him. But the show, Jones and Keith, done at noon. Red Sox pregame starts at 12:05. First pitch a little after 1 o'clock here on WEEI. Garrett Crochet on the mound as they go for the sweep. So short show today. We'll mix in some Patriots thoughts coming up. I will tell you, the text line and even Twitch, there's a lot of people asking us to review.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The Patriots, what are they called? Rivalry uniforms?
That's right.
I've seen
NFL's
them.
Got rivalry uniforms.
I was going to say, it's not just the Patriots uniform that came out today. We're going to uniform police all of these coming up
obviously
at 10:45. We're the uniform show.
I do like, though, that a lot of people are pointing out. Like, yeah, we know. We know that they're out.
It didn't sneak up on us. We're aware of it. Yep. We're going to uniform police all of these at 10:45. So you want our thoughts on that? You're going to have to wait just a touch. Plus your thoughts, or our thoughts, rather, on all these rivalry uniforms. We'll get up to that.
Oh, I see one of them that's terrible.
I haven't seen them all yet.
I've seen one that's
I've seen
terrible.
The Patriots one. I've not seen them all.
I'm not going to tell you which until 10:45.
I think I know based on the Twitch chat, but I'm going to go check that out.
All right.
You can get in there. We'll put all these up on Twitch, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI when we uniform police it. Let's get into the Red Sox. Time to adjust the ceiling for this team based on how they've turned things around in the last couple of months. We'll get to that. Rafaela, big home run last night, making up for his error earlier in the game.
Great call by Hogg.
Yeah.
Great call by Hogg with the team to the end. You can always count on Hogg. Yeah, he tells it like it is.
He was mad early.
He was mad about the way the game was unfolding.
Well, yeah, he wears it on his sleeve.
Sure. Sure. He didn't spill his soda that time.
No,
so that's good.
No. Who pointed this out before the show? Was it you? Was it Bridget? Was it Nick? That he does morph into a little bit of like hockey bro there. Like, hey, let's go boys.
Let's go boys.
There's a lot.
There's a lot of let's go boys. It's sort of his catchphrase. It's his. Can you believe it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Every good play-by-play person has a catchphrase.
You do have to have one that you fall back on.
It's his. Got it. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Mine was when a guy hit a three. I would yell Skittles taste the rainbow.
Oh, that's good.
You're kidding.
No.
That was really it. That's like boom goes the dynamite.
It was a little bit like Bridget call.
What's the Bridget call?
I don't have one. I gotta get one. It has to be. You know, you have to have a moment where you do something and then you kind of like repeat it a few
times. Just steal
like,
Hogs. Let's go, boys.
Later, he gets the rebound, passes it to the man, shoots it, and boom goes the dynamite.
How about this, Bridget? Taste the rainbow.
How about this, Bridget? You combine the two legends, Hogdale and Castiglione, and you drop a "Can you believe it, boys?"
That's not bad.
Go with that.
Yeah. You got it, boys.
Also, there was a kid at Riviere College when I was doing games with Mutt who his last name was
Sick Brag, bro.
I'm not even there yet.
Yeah. So pace that out a little bit.
His last name was Bean.
Oh, yeah.
So and he was a 3-point shooter. And so I'd always yell, "Roll that beautiful Bean footage."
I thought you were going to say maybe he flicked one in.
No. No, Jones.
Oh, my God.
Jones, I didn't work blue. I didn't work blue. I was just trying to hang on to a job desperately.
I thought this was the Hogg call. Is what I thought this was.
No, this was on the radio. This wasn't just a Twitch stream.
Roll that beautiful Bean footage.
There were probably six people that heard it. So you had to make sure.
You know what we should do? Do you have any like mini disc calls of your play-by-play or like old CDs of like your play-by-play?
There's legitimately a CD of mine in the other room somehow.
Yeah, we should go through.
I've seen that.
It's like Rich Keefe play-by-play. It's probably atrocious.
We should just give Nick.
Can we send it to like ESPN?
No, I'm saying just like
I don't think they want it.
Just like give it to Nick. We don't get to curate. No, but I'm saying we don't get to curate it. We don't get to make ourselves sound good.
It's a mess.
Give it to Nick and be like, here's our play-by-play. Yeah. Like
is there a way to make a CD like play over the air here?
I feel like the technology is not. We've moved past it. How do we pull audio from a mini disc? I don't know how to do that. But I got some mini discs if you want them.
It's like, where's your MP3? I don't have that. I don't have any of that. You're lucky it's on a CD, for God's sakes.
That was a good Hogg call. Yeah. You think he's got... I believe I've been told this. I'd in fact check this myself, Keith, so dangerous to play this game.
Okay.
I believe he's... Is he in Iowa? Is that where he is?
He's not in New England, is what I've heard.
You think he's got hockey in his background?
Iowa? No.
No?
No, if there's like Minnesota, Michigan.
Yeah, that's right there. Iowa's right there.
No,
right.
Not
close.
Really. It's cornfields.
It's close.
His location on Twitter says Iowa.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nick.
So, but he is from Iowa.
In case you guys were wondering.
That's what Jones just said.
I know. I was very, again,
all right, top four.
He said, I don't know if it's true or not.
Top four.
Top four Hawkeyes?
Iowans.
Top four Iowans. Hawkeyes?
Yeah. Slipknot.
Slipknot. Yes. Damn, Nick. Slipknot one. Yeah. Hog two.
Yeah, Hog's on there.
Would you go Tyrese Halliburton three, Caitlin Clark four?
Ooh, Caitlin Clark got to be on there. We don't need Brian running down. Nah, he's yelling at us. Yeah. Real pissed.
Tier Tuesday best Caitlin people Clark, from Iowa.
Caitlin Clark's
Slipknot, Hogdale. Halliburton. Is Halliburton from Iowa? Or am I making that up?
No, I don't believe so. I think he's from Milwaukee.
Oh, all right. Take him out then.
Is that right?
Went to Iowa State.
Yep.
All right, let me double check on this.
Nope. Was Brad Smith Mizzou? Who was the quarterback?
Yeah,
on the...
Brad Smith, but to Missouri, so that doesn't help
us. Yeah,
no,
I'm saying, who was the quarterback at Iowa?
Are you thinking of Brad Banks?
Brad Banks.
You're thinking of Brad Banks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, no, Halliburton from Wisconsin, so you can go ahead and toss that out altogether.
Noah Fant. T.J. Hawkinson. Yeah, a lot of
Kittle.
Kittle. A lot of good tight ends there. Yeah.
All right, let me just look up famous Iowa people.
Isn't there a wrestler from Iowa right now? Seth Rollins, is he from Iowa?
Oh, good question. Elijah Wood, apparently, according to the internet.
He's got to make it.
Put Elijah Wood's probably in there.
What about
yeah.
Ashton Kutcher?
Oh, got
not a fan.
I got to get him in there, though.
Sean Johnson, the gymnast, the old gymnast.
Oh.
Good one. Lara Flynn Boyle.
Yeah.
According to this.
Yeah.
Tom Arnold. Would you put him on there?
Oh, yeah, he's got to be in there. Tom Arnold. Sure.
Herbert Hoover. Mm. Ron Livingston.
Ron Livingston?
Lolo Jones.
Wait, who's Ron Livingston?
Ron Livingston's the dude from...
Sean Livingston.
He's the dude from Office Space and Swingers. Ron Livingston. The actor.
Yeah, who does he play?
What do you mean, who's he play?
The lead?
The lead guy in Office Space.
In Office Space, his name is Ron Livingston?
The actor's name is Ron Livingston. The character's name is not Ron Livingston.
Right, I don't think he makes the cut. He's out. I know Sean Livingston.
Okay. Yeah. What about... we kind of fall off a cliff here.
All right, I think we've maxed
Bob
out.
Bob Feller?
Oh.
Oh, Seth Rollins. Good call, Nick.
Wow,
I don't know how you knew that.
I think it might have popped up on my Instagram or something. It's like, hey, what is there to do in Iowa? It's like nothing.
Hogdale is altering everyone's algorithm.
Adam Devine?
What's going on? Devine.
Devine from Workaholics?
Yeah, sure.
Toss him in there.
Adam DeMamp is a character's name on Workaholics.
Yes.
Yeah.
Johnny Carson?
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a throwback.
All right. It's a good list. Cloris Leachman as well, the late, great Cloris Leachman.
Did we settle?
Yeah, I was
Caitlin Clark, Johnny Carson, Hog, and Slipknot. I think that's the Iowa Mount Rushmore, I think.
I don't even know if Caitlin Clark's from Iowa.
Well, I'm sure she is.
Oh, she is. Yeah,
that sounds right.
She has her own logo now, apparently.
Oh?
Yeah. You see that?
No. What is it?
It looks kind of like a mess. It's.
I have some guess.
It honestly looks like a magic eye. I got a headache looking at it. You see this thing?
Yeah, I see it.
Tarp, if you can find it, just as a quick Google search away.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark has a logo that Nike put together. Nike basketball officially introducing Caitlin Clark as the newest signature athlete, expanding the brand's partnership with one of the most watched, impactful, and passionate players in the game. And they came up with what can only be considered a magic eye. It's like...
It's like a cross between a coach logo and the Packers logo.
It's nauseating because you know how you can draw like a 3D like cube? You just like two squares.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Yeah. It's like that, but like with C's. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's black and white. I think if you just relax your eyes, you can see a schooner in there. Look at this thing. It's awful. That one actually that Terps put up on Twitch
that
and YouTube.
Looks much better than the one
you
have.
It looks better because you have like a little image of her in the background. If you take that one out and it's just the black and white... I don't know. It looks like two.
I think it looks like two O's and not two C's.
Well, you got to try to cross your eyes. You'll see this.
It's like two champion logos layered over one.
Yeah, they need to bring that one back to the drawing board, I would say.
I would work on that
for sure. That's a tough go.
Okay. There is your Iowa Mount Rushmore. We're going to uniform police. All of these rivalry uniforms coming up, including the Patriots.
Oh, the Iowa meat truck. Chuck on the. On
great
the text
call.
Line.
Hoss of the week.
He was a hoss of the week. All right, we got to bump somebody.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark's out.
I was going to say Slipknot. I don't want to.
No. You're out of your mind. No, you can't do that.
That is eight guys, but you know, whatever.
It was like, I think nine, wasn't it? Like,
they're not all
with us anymore.
No.
Some of them are rocking in the sky.
Iowans in the sky. Hawkeye in the sky. Let's go to Tom in New Hampshire. Hello, Tom.
Hey.
You know,
whether it was a signature win or not, it was a huge momentum win. As you guys were kind of saying, that was a great pitching performance. What you didn't even mention, I almost turned the game off in the ninth. I was so frustrated. They had first and third in the eighth with no outs. You have Anthony coming up, Bregman and Story. and, you know, Anthony and Bregman strike out, and then Story hits a ground ball. It reminded me of that game a couple Tuesdays ago when they had bases loaded. They struck out, you know, three times in a row, and then the next inning, you know, Toro gets up with one out. You knew he was hitting a double play, and he did. So, you know, it's like a little salt in the wound. They don't get the run, and then the next inning they get the drop fly ball. I mean, that, you know, as you mentioned, they got Raffaella going now, and Hamilton's been really great. If he can, you know, he plays a good second base. If he can stay mixing in some hits, I just think it was a real big momentum booster.
Yeah, I don't. Most of his career would say he's not going to keep mixing in hits, but he's been decent lately. You made a face.
I don't trust David Hamilton, but I get his point. You know, if you can, that, if you put Seydon Raffaella in center field, that should be an advantage to you. And then that was one of the big miscues of the game. And you're right, we didn't even point out just how frustrating it was that they almost got the run right back. You're like first and third, and it's first and third with like Connor Wong, right? So you're like, all right, now you have the top of the lineup up, first and third, nobody out, and you don't score a run. So it's fair, like, so you have a brutal miscue in the outfield, and then you can't come through with a runner on third base, and you still win the game. Right? Like it's pretty good. It just feels like, because those were some things that earlier in the year would happen, and then they would for sure lose that game, and you'd point to, like, how do you not get the run in, or, like, should they have, not that those guys should have bunted, but, like, that, you know, the conversations like that would always come up after these games.
I do think the ceiling is World Series. If you want to talk about the Red Sox and their ceiling, I know you're big on this, Keith.
Yeah.
Like,
make the playoffs.
You're in the postseason, you can go on a run. Now, does that mean winning the title? I think we've seen them struggle against some of those high-end National League teams, not all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Phillies felt like a cut above when they were head-to-head. They won their series against the Dodgers. The Cubs have come back down to earth a little bit. They haven't faced Milwaukee in a while, right? When was that? That was even pre-Devers trade, I think.
That might have been.
When they got Devers and they were in a funk. But
yeah. Brewers.
If you want to say they're not going to win the World Series, yeah. Fine. But getting out of the AL, I do think, is their ceiling. With the way they are not just playing currently, but the way they've been playing for months. Carrabba's tweeted this morning. Since the Devers trade. And you can talk about that just being a line of demarcation or an actual turning point for the team subtracting Devers, whatever you want to apply to it. Since that date, I think they have the third best record in the AL. So they can absolutely get to a World Series.
The two teams in the American League with a better record are the Blue Jays and the Tigers. But the Red Sox have scored more runs than both, and they've allowed fewer runs than both. So they have a better run differential than both. So it doesn't mean that you just, you know, you're definitely going to win that series, or you'd even be favored. Like, it didn't go great when you, like, those two teams have played well against the Red Sox,
yes.
Right? So there is that part of it.
Blue Jays have played them great head to head, and the Tigers swept them. Yeah.
So I mean, there is that part of it. I'm not saying they'd be the favorite in that series, but it's not this like unbelievable task, especially if you have Crochet versus Scooble. Maybe you even take that game, and now you have Bayo going and Giolito against guys that aren't Scooble. Like, I like their chances against anybody. It doesn't mean they are winning the World Series. It just means they have a hell of a chance.
Yeah. When you talk about how far they can go and what their ceiling is, that's what it is. And they've been at that level now for months. 617-779-7937. It is a big day here on WEEI. It's a Crochet day. He's going to pitch a little after 1 o'clock. Red Sox pregame comes your way over an hour from now at 12:05. Keith and I are going to stick around with Joe Weil for some Red Sox pregame. So keep it locked in for that. And on the way next.
This is huge.
Speaking of a big day.
Yeah.
We get to uniform police. Not just the Patriots rivalry uniform,
no.
Which I know you're all waiting to hear our grades for.
With bated breath.
But we're going to grade all of those rivalry uniforms that got released today. All 8 of them. Uniform police. Emergency uniform police next. Big day for the Jones and Key fashion police. We have NFL rivalry uniforms being released left and right. What is it? The NFC West and the AFC East?
That's right. So the Patriots have a new one. And so they'll match up this season with some, I think, one of the Bills games and one of the Jets games.
It's the Bills on October 5th, and it is the Jets on November 13th.
Yeah, so it's sort of like City Connect, right, where it's like another uniform. I know they did the color rush before. They're not calling it that because they're not going as like crazy with the colors.
I like the color rush idea.
I like the idea of it.
I like this idea.
Right, and they weren't all winners, but I like a good uniform. Not every team has a great uniform right now. I would actually prefer, and this is maybe just me getting old, I would prefer more throwbacks than I would like new ones. But if it's just changing up the current ones, I guess I'm in favor of that.
So I know people have been clamoring for like the the Bledsoe era,
like 3D
Patriot 90s.
The Chrislades.
Yeah, those. The Chrislades.
The Chrislades.
We get the Pat Patriot uniforms as well. So, yeah, I'm with you on a throwback. I like a nice throwback. We're in our 40s, Keith.
We are.
So we like the nostalgia of, sick brag, bro. The 80s and the 90s. We like that nostalgia.
Yeah, especially, but, like, you feel like the Broncos and the Bucks and all these ones. Like, when we did our bracket last March.
All the uniforms in our football region of the Jones and Keith uniform bracket, yeah.
The Kelly Green Eagles. Like, they were all, like.
Well, less that, but, yeah.
Well, I'm just saying. They were all, like, 90s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah, we had a type.
Yeah.
It was,
that's
like
fine.
It was like an orange 90s uniform is what it was.
But they're trying to sell some more jerseys for the kids out there. So they're like, let's pump out some rivalry uniforms.
All right, let's get to it, Nick, if we
did
could.
You ever think that maybe there's more to life than being really, really, really ridiculously good looking?
It's Jones and Keith, Fashion Police.
All right, where do you want to start?
I think we start with the Pats, no?
All right, on Twitch and on YouTube, there's different versions of this, so you can see all the uniforms, or all the jerseys, I should say, all the jerseys. We'll get to some of the helmets.
Is that just like an AI-generated video? What is
it?
It
is weird.
Are these the real jerseys?
So the Patriots, let's start with this. For those that haven't had a chance to see it yet, what color would you call this uniform?
So I would call it an icy blue. I know you have a different term for it, but I would call that like an icy blue.
Yeah, it is sort of like a stormy blue. I think they're referring to like as their nor'easter.
That is how they're referring to it.
Yeah, so it's like a blue-gray.
The Patriots tweet was like, there's a nor'easter coming or something like that.
Is it like a soft blue-gray?
No.
No.
No, that's not how I would describe
hard
it.
Hard blue-gray?
Hard blue-gray.
Okay.
I got one. Dark denim.
You're going dark denim?
Mm.
Put that up there again. That's a dark denim?
I don't know how dark it is, though.
Yeah, it's pretty light.
I have darker denim in my closet.
Okay, just denim, then.
I have much darker denim.
Denim?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, so denim. The patch on the shoulder pad, there's in a cool font, I will call it. A cool font.
Old English?
An N-E. No, it's Wingdings.
Oh, okay.
It's an N-E on the shoulder. So looking a quick look at all the uniforms, three of the teams are going with like a white, four are going with a black, and then the Patriots are the one that have a jersey in a color. Now you can debate what the color even is.
They had to squeak in, we're all Patriots on there. They had to
are all Patriots.
Yeah, they had to do that.
We are all Patriots. That is true. My initial thought, I like it. I like the jersey. I like it. They said, we're not just going to do the white or the black. We're going to go for something a little bit different here.
I love the jersey, but I like the helmet.
The helmet's cool.
The helmet stinks.
So, yeah, me and Nick agree on this.
So here's my hang up on the helmet. So the helmet is white, but it still has the flying Elvis.
Yeah,
I don't like that logo.
It's a blue, so I don't like that
logo
either.
This is an opportunity to change it and either do a different one or do Pat Patriot.
Did anyone change their logo?
Mm.
No. No one's changing their logo for
this.
They
should have.
Yeah, but no one else is.
But you have an opportunity to, is my point.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't like it. All right, so now you're scrolling through. So what's your grade for the Patriots? Or should we do all these and then rank them? Is that better?
No. Well, let's grade the Patriots, and then maybe we could rank them. Grade the Pats. 42?
42?
Yeah. I'm an easy grader too. On the when it comes to I don't grade anything easy.
No,
when it
you
comes
don't.
To uniforms, I typically do.
I kind of like
42.
I'm kind of into the jersey color. I don't hate the jersey color, and I like the shoulder pad sleeve. So I will go with a 57.
Okay. See, I thought you were.
I don't love it.
Gonna be a little more bullish. Than
I don't
that.
Like the helmet.
Okay. You went with like a Todd Collins 57. I went with
what?
I went with a Ben Jarvis Green Ellis 42.
I'm just going with 57.
What's a 50? Who wore 57?
Famously, no one. They've left that number open.
I don't recall.
They've never handed it out.
Byron Cowart. Okay. Yeah, I'm going with the 42. I don't like it. That the helmet is what brings it up even a touch for me.
Are they going white pants?
Yeah,
I haven't seen the full.
Yeah, it's white pants, and then it's the icy blue socks.
And the font isn't terrible.
No, I like the shoulder patch.
The shoulder pad thing,
like.
And even the name. Plate is pretty good.
The shoulder patch I like. I like the helmet. The rest of it I could.
But if everything was the same and it was just a white uniform or a black uniform, I'm not giving you any other color choice.
Uh-huh.
White, black, or that blue. I'll take that blue.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, the white pants, white helmet is nice.
Yeah, and
I don't like the logo, right? But like the color of the pants and the helmet, I'm in on. So maybe 57's a little low.
Guy from
by
the 207.
By the way, it's a Mo Lewis 57.
There you go.
Mo Lewis.
How about that?
Yeah.
Guy from the 207 says it's kind of like the Houston Oilers throwbacks, which I guess I could kind of, it's not that blue.
No, no, no. It's not that blue.
It's not that blue, but it's the same. It is the same kind of idea.
It's almost, but it's a, kind of a unique blue. I don't really know a lot of teams that have had this. It is like a real blue gray. It's like a little bit of both.
Pops a little bit there with Brendan Schooler.
Schooler can show it off. Like, yeah. He's very excited. He's yelling at the camera person.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
He's like, hey, I got to go cover a putt.
I'll be right back.
I'll be here for this photo shoot. Okay, so I went 42. Keith went 57.
57, yeah.
If you were going to rank some of these other ones, what is the, I think we agree on the one we actually like.
I think the Cardinals might be the best one.
Cardinals is great.
The Cardinals are going with a white uniform, and they're going with, and it's hard to see in that photo.
You got to zoom in on twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Zoom right in so we can really get a
good
look.
They're doing the paint splatter thing.
I like that.
So it's not just a white uniform. You get close, it looks like the bottom of a skateboard or something. They like just went crazy paint at it. I like that. That's pretty cool. They're going with a white helmet and then with like a different shade of red for the bird.
Yeah, look at that.
It's a good uniform.
It's a Jackson Pollock is what it is.
I think it's the
That's
best.
That's going to be memed a lot when Kyler Murray throws a red zone interception.
Yes, it is.
It's a good point. It's like a desert thing going on that uniform, which I like.
Is it supposed to be sand? It looks more like paint to me. But either way, I kind of like it. I'm in on that.
All right, so that I would have at the top of the heap.
Yeah, but even still, I think it kind of peaks at like a 65.
Oh, I'd go higher than that.
75?
75. That sounds right.
Oh, look at that in action.
It looks good on Kyler
White
Murray.
Pants as well.
Now, maybe not in actual game action, but on a screen, it looks good on Kyler Murray.
I bet it's going to look fast, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet it's going to look real fast.
He's going to be leaving people literally in the dust with that. Yeah. Okay, so we like that. Anything you hate?
I think the Rams didn't do enough. The Rams looks, I think I've seen that uniform with the Rams. Right? It's like a black version, but they still have the gold and blue stripes.
It almost looks like Michigan.
The helmet does look a little Michigan-like.
Which makes me kind of like it, I think.
You're an NFL team. Do your own thing.
But I think but what would be next best after the Cardinals? I think it might be the Rams.
Cardinals.
No, it's the Niners. The Niners is sweet.
Mm. Yeah, the Niners is black. They have like a cool font. I don't know what you would even call that font. Yeah, the Rams is like not very creative, not very imaginative.
Yeah, and
I feel like they've worn those before.
They've done like it. They do like
they have the color is just different than the number.
They do like an ombre thing where it's like it like fades the color like a dark blue to a lighter blue, which I like.
I don't like the Bills. So earlier when we were scrolling through and you were like, I was like, oh, I don't like one.
Yeah, that was not my guess, but you didn't like the Bills.
It's all white, which can look really good. But then the number is gray, and it's outlined in a blue, and then it's like a faded version of their logo on the helmet, so it doesn't pop at all.
That right there, if you're watching on Twitch, that right there looks like the Raiders. Like, if I didn't know any better, that looks like a Raiders uniform.
Yeah, it's all white with a silver number.
Yeah, that's no good.
And then the helmet kind of stinks. Like, there's zero red in it. The Buffalo Bills are zero red. I don't care for that.
So,
The Patriots will have the uniform advantage when they play the Bills.
100%.
Yeah.
Probably against the Jets, too.
The quarterback advantage.
No.
But specifically the uniform advantage.
But Josh Allen's going to be a little worse, and Drake May's going to be a little better.
So I would probably go top to bottom. Cardinals.
Rams, we agree on that.
No. Cardinals, Niners, Pats, Dolphins, Seahawks, Jets, Rams, Bills.
I would go Cardinals, Rams. I think I agree with you. Pats over Niners.
Yeah.
Then all the other ones kind of stink. Seahawks, I guess. Jets. Dolphins are bad, too.
They took a big swing. Yeah, but I don't
like
that. And
then Bills maybe at the bottom. Bills or Dolphins are the two worst.
I like a turquoise, though. They have turquoise numbers.
Yeah, but they always have that.
Yeah, well.
Nothing special there.
Yeah, but then they have Miami's written in orange.
But it looks worse. It just looks worse on black than on.
No, it is kind of grading on
white
a curve.
Or the actual turquoise uniform.
Yeah,
it looks
like
an XFL jersey.
It kind of does.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
Yeah.
So maybe that one's worse than Buffalo. But okay, Cardinals uniforms are pretty good. Pats are actually
not bad. They're definitely in the top three.
As bad as the grade is?
Yeah.
On a scale, they actually do okay because none of these are very good.
Agreed.
Outside of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's Jones and Keefe uniform police on all the new rivalry uniforms that were released earlier today, NFC West and AFC East. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. Have you seen the uniforms? Do you like them? What do you think of our grades? You can discuss there. And speaking of the Patriots, we'll get to them. Vrabel sounded annoyed yesterday. We'll explain why next.
I guess when it doesn't work out, you break up with somebody, your girlfriend doesn't want to be with you, and then you say, well, I don't want to be with you either. I'm not going to get into all that.
So was that?
I just said I'm not going to get into it. It was just like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not going to go back and forth here. We're trying to build a roster. Got to move on from some guys. Make connections with guys, you coach them, they earn opportunities, they get more opportunities, they take advantage of them, And that's kind of how these things go.
Mike Vrabel yesterday played it for you live here on Jones and Keefe. He was asked about Epps and Bourne, basically saying they requested their release.
Two of the greats.
As opposed to the Patriots cutting them. You said this yesterday, and it's similar to what Vrabel said there. It's a situation of, I think these guys were on the outs anyways, and then they're like, no, we requested our release. I personally think that's all Vrabel was saying there, but is there an element, Keefe, of guys don't want to be here, and those are two examples of it? Is it an element of, Vrabel was barking back at him? Like, I didn't read too much into that comment, to be honest. I just thought he was saying what we were all thinking. There was no real spot for Bourne on this team. I didn't spend as much time thinking about Epps, but that's another one. I just think it's easier for those guys to say, no, I want it out. They didn't want to cut me. Yeah. I want it out. I just kind of took that at face value.
Well, it's the classic, you can't fire me, I quit. Even though, you were about to lose your job either way. So for some reason, Bourne and Epps maybe felt like it would look better to be released per request than just cut by the team, even though I think everybody around the league could view it as you were going to get cut by the team.
Right.
Because Kyle Duggar barely made the team, so Epps wasn't going to make the team.
Bourne, did you also...
There's eight receivers on the team, and you're hurt. You're not going to make the team.
Did you also not want to go to the Minnesota Vikings? Like, was that... Because there were talks of you getting traded there. Did you also not want to go there?
But I did find it funny, though, because I think as much as Vrabel was kind of the closest we had heard him to Bill Belichick yesterday... Right, like I think there was a lot of like sort of like the way he sort of talked about everything. This was one where he did give you something, like because all the reports were Bourne and Epps requested a release. So is that why they got released? And he's pretty much telling you no, like they were going to get cut because we cut them, and they probably saw the writing on the wall, and so they asked for it. So I think it's more about those players. You know, like a few years ago, it was like what N'Keal Harry, Tyquan Thornton, a few other players are like, well, just trade me or cut me. Or was like, what? Like you're barely on the roster as it is. So I don't think it's a huge deal. I do think it was funny though because Vrabel tried to answer that question in a way where he's like, I'm not gonna answer it, but he very much did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was annoyed yesterday?
He felt it. He felt like he was.
So you think he was annoyed at
those
guys, more leaks?
No, I don't think
he was. Do you think he was annoyed at just like the overall direction? You think he's just in general annoyed with his team? Like, what do you think he was annoyed slash low energy at yesterday?
So it did seem like the lowest of the energy. Now, he's not always like shot out of a cannon. I'm not saying he went from being like Pete Carroll to like you know, falling asleep. Like
he's not Dan Campbell.
No, he's not those guys, right? So he is a little bit more reserved, sarcastic. But I don't know. I feel like we've heard him either before or after practices during some of those training camps where he had like more energy about it. And so I don't know if this is just a carryover from, even though it was second, third stringers and guys that aren't going to play or guys that got cut already, you know, that preseason game was bad. And maybe they've had some not great practices or something, right? And he's sort of taking it out there. I know the afternoon show, their theory is, and you brought this up too, actually, yesterday, maybe he's looking at the roster and he's like this is what we have?
Yeah.
Which to me is odd because
I don't think it's that. I couldn't
sneak up on him. Like, he had to know this.
The show that I just found amusing that we read on the air. But I agree. I don't think it's that either. I don't think he's just pissed at the situation.
No. But he's definitely just a bit of a, the team right now, maybe it was a bad practice or something. But he definitely did not seem like thrilled to be talking about his team.
So he could be annoyed at Bourne, Epps. He could be annoyed at, again, like the rats, more leaks. He could be annoyed at that.
I think it'd be more that because that theoretically is still a problem or still in-house or like could pop up again. Whereas if player 53 and 54 asked to be cut, then you cut him. I don't think he thinks about them again. I think he's like moved on from that. Like, okay, that didn't work out.
I mean, Kendrick Bourne hasn't been on the field since the in-stadium scrimmage.
Yeah.
So like he probably hasn't thought much about him.
And also, when Vrabel and Stretch and Cowden and, to a lesser degree, Elliott Wolf put the 53-man roster together, they had eight wide receivers. They weren't going to go into week one with eight wide receivers. No. So I think he knew what they were doing. And then right when we get off the air, Baker gets cut. Bourne gets cut during the show. And you're like, okay, there you go.
Yeah, it's true. Right after we got off the air, Javon Baker, and I assumed he was going to get cut and snuck through to the practice squad. I can't imagine... There's a lot of teams lining up for a guy who can't even catch preseason passes when he's out there. Like, he's never on the same page with his quarterback. He caught no passes in games last year. So that's a guy they were able to sneak through to the practice squad. But we knew there weren't going to be eight guys. There might not even be six by the time we get to the opener. I mean, let's see where that winds up going.
Seven or eight.
Do you think there's an element, Keith, at all of guys not wanting to be here? Or was that just, as you said, they knew they were getting cut, and so they're just trying to get in front of it to protect themselves? I don't get the sense there's an element of guys not buying in, and those are two examples of it.
No, because if anything, I would feel like guys like Duggar and Jennings, who are better players than Epps and probably Bourne at this stage of his career, if those guys see, like, all right, maybe our playing time isn't going to be there, maybe they would want out more, or they'd be a little bit more squawking. I really think it was
That's a good point. If there was a guy who was going to be upset with the situation, Duggar would be front and center.
Yeah.
Maybe he is. We're not hearing anything about that. Vrabel's pissed at all the leaks coming out of there, so I think we would have heard about it.
No, I don't think it's anything of that. I think these are sort of, you know, you go into camp with 90 guys. They're not all going to be happy about sort of their role, but I think it has nothing to do with Vrabel or a New England Patriots team that's coming off 4-win season, and more Kendrick Bourne being like, because he even talked about the competition himself going back a couple weeks in training camp, and how he's like, yeah, we're working together, but it's also every man for himself, and like looking around the room, and you're like, it's pretty balanced. Like, everybody in that wide receiver room, you don't have like Jerry Rice up here and like N'Keal Harry down here. You have like a bunch of guys that, depending on how they practice, it could determine who's there. Like, Kayshon Booty is a great example of a guy that started camp with not a guaranteed roster spot and then ends camp as probably your number three receiver. So he made the most of it. Kendrick Bourne was like not really all that productive during camp, and then unfortunately for him got hurt, and then now he's just out watching the rest of the guys go. So if he's like, hey, can you release me? Like, so be it. They're probably going to release you anyway. And so he does, but I don't think you get a sense that guys don't want to be a part of it.
617-779-7937. What do you think of Vrabel and his comments yesterday about Kendrick Bourne? Is it a sign guys don't want to be here? Is Vrabel annoyed? If so, what's he annoyed at? Again, 617-779-7937. A couple of updates here. Number one, Keith, we missed Steve Nelson, 57.
57.
That's why no one's wearing it these days.
That's my Patriots. So
that was your grade for the Pats uniform.
Yeah.
The other update, I didn't realize this. I thought they were wearing the uniforms against each other. Incorrect.
Oh, one wears it and one doesn't?
The Bills will be wearing theirs against the Patriots on October 5th.
Win for the Pats.
And then the Patriots will be wearing theirs against the Jets on November 13th. The opponent won't be doing that as well.
Weird.
So I misunderstood.
Also, if the whole idea is a rivalry uniform, why would you introduce like a new uniform to promote like a rivalry? If it's like a long-standing rivalry, wouldn't you wear the throwbacks?
One would think.
Anyway,
they want to make a few bucks, obviously, but if you're going to call it rivalry,
right,
where are the throwbacks? So the names of them, I didn't have this earlier. The Patriots nor'easter one we had.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals are called Built to Last. So I don't know if that fits.
Built to Last?
Yep. The Bills,
is that like, that sounds like a car company.
Yeah, like a bad,
I feel like that's already been taken.
Sounds like the front of like a media guide or something like that. The Bills are Cold Front.
Cold Front?
I like the Rams. You tell me if you like the Rams more based on the name. Midnight Mode.
Oh, they're in Midnight Mode?
Yeah,
like on
your
phone?
Yeah. Or
lame.
Yeah. You put your Crocs to sport mode? Like the kids.
Oh, that's what you mean, business?
Yeah.
Oh, he might run a little bit.
Yeah,
he might go for a jog.
Midnight Mode.
No, I hate it more. I hate Midnight Mode.
I admittedly like the Dolphins one a little more. Dark Waters?
Dark Waters.
Yeah.
You don't know what's under there.
No, well, probably a dolphin.
Most likely in this case, a dolphin, a school of dolphins.
Yeah, ramming a shark.
Yeah.
Dump that.
Ramming a shark.
Yeah, it's in the dark.
Yeah. Profanity. Dolphins are really intelligent,
it's in the dark. You don't want to do that when the
dark
in
waters.
The lighter waters. In the dark waters, anything goes.
All right.
I told you Pat's nor'easter.
Yeah, the Jets, I don't mind nor'easter.
The Jets are Gotham City Football Club,
which I hate. I should love. Gotham City.
Oh, true.
It's the home of Batman.
Yeah, it's just too wordy, though.
But it's like,
Gotham City Football Club.
It's like, you're New York, you play your games in New Jersey, and now you're trying to steal Gotham City. Like,
seriously. Yeah, Niners are for the faithful. Faithful are like their.
Is that a religious thing?
That's like their 12s.
Oh, the fans are called the faithful?
Yeah. 49ers faithful.
Don't like that either.
Seahawks are a shout out to the 12s, speaking of which, the high decibel zone. Lame.
High decibel zone?
Yeah. Those are the
that is. They're all honestly nor'easter, cold front, dark waters are probably the best ones.
Well, and midnight mode, obviously. Yeah.
No, I don't like
it. Yeah, I like that. So there you go.
Do you have all your stuff on your phone in night mode or in day mode?
No, just regular day mode.
So do I. People call me a serial killer.
Does Joneses have night mode on it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
No, it does. It does.
Good point.
Sometimes my phone on Twitter actually accidentally like goes to night mode.
Because every once in a while, like,
oh, it's probably your stupid phone. Yeah.
If I post like a screenshot, people are like, why is it in dark mode? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, what is the benefit of that? It's for your eyes?
I mean, I don't feel like I'm burning my retinas out of my head every time I look at my phone.
I don't feel like I'm burning my retinas out of my head every time I look at my phone.
I just don't like it because if you go from like one to the other, it's just like you can't even see it.
What are you going from one to the other for?
Does it conserve battery?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Stupid.
I don't care for it.
I do like the Rams midnight mode, though.
I know you do. It stinks.
617-779-7937. What do you think of them claiming Tommy Cutlets yesterday? Any developing thoughts on that?
Well, I think they were probably going to bring in a third quarterback, whether it's just the emergency guy or another arm for the receivers in practice or for the defense to get a look against. He's had NFL experience in there, so now you have a couple of different backups. And so if Drake May goes down, first of all, like most teams, you're kind of screwed. Like, you're going to, I think you're in trouble. But Josh Dobbs for a couple of games, at least then you're not just like, well, it's him and only him. So, like, let's see where that goes. He was available. He's probably one of the better quarterbacks that got released. And I mean, and you're really talking about what if every team has a minimum of two, some teams already have three. Is he like the 70th best quarterback or whatever? It's like, okay.
I don't mind them.
He's better than Wooly.
I don't mind. Yo, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't mind them adding him. I like the idea of adding him before all the waiver claims came through yesterday. We were talking about that'd be a guy who I think is worth having on the roster. However, I did see Giardi tweet. They were the only team that put in a waiver claim on him. And you just wonder if they understand the asset management there. Like giving away Joe Milton. I know people don't like me going back to Joe Milton. Earmuffs out there, Ray. But, you know, did they properly manage that asset? Same thing with DeVito, and it's a minor thing. It's just a waiver claim, but it's like you're the only team that pounced on him. Yeah. Maybe that speaks to your quarterback room, which, again, speaks to the Milton mismanagement earlier. But also, like, did you need to put in a waiver claim? Did you have a good feel for the rest of the league? And, you know, their roster's not good. They have a lot of vacancies and a lot of needs on the roster, which we all acknowledge. So maybe it's a reflection of that. But I do still wonder with this new group, and I'm not counting Wolf in it. You know, Belichick is long gone. I heard Curtis talking about that this morning. The idea that Vrabel and Stryker and Cowden, they're now calling the shots. There's little things like that where I still wonder about the big picture roster building and, you know, their eye for talent and asset management. Like, I still wonder. We're not going to have our answer right away, but I still wonder with that whole group.
Well, I guess the only way you would know is if – so say they put in a waiver claim on somebody else, but they prioritized DeVito, and then they didn't get the other guy they wanted, and then they could have gotten DeVito anyway.
And a bunch of teams put in claims on that guy.
But if these are the guys that they wanted and they got the two guys that they wanted, then, like, okay. You know, turns out he wasn't really coveted around the league. I was just looking at, you know, a lot of teams broke camp. It looks like with three quarterbacks, so you'd probably – and, in fact, the Giants had four all camp and then cut him and still kept three. So I don't think it would have taken much to realize that, yeah, he probably wouldn't have been a priority in a lot of places. But they wanted him and they got him. So, like, I don't think it's that bad. They also went with a defensive back. So they got two guys in waivers, and, you know, we'll see where that goes.
When you look up and down the roster, I did think quarterback was a need yesterday. I'm surprised they didn't claim anybody on the offensive line, or they haven't made any additions to the offensive line. It doesn't mean they can't between now and then. But Vrabel said yesterday they're already into – some of the Raiders install. I mean, next week you're getting ready for the game. So I don't know how many more moves are happening between now and then. I think the flood of activity mostly was cut down day on Tuesday and then some of the waiver claims yesterday. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm sure there will be more movement, but I think the bulk of it has already happened. I think that's kind of what they're doing at this point in time, I'd imagine. So I thought there would be some additions on the offensive line because they feel really – I mean, not just light there, but, you know, that's a place where it feels like they need to upgrade their talent and have all offseason.
Well, so it makes me wonder with both, you know, just three running backs and with the nine offensive linemen, you know, maybe Ramondre Stevenson is more ready to go. Maybe Morgan Moses is more ready to go.
That's a good point.
Because if Morgan Moses, like, all camp was as managed a player, he and Carlton Davis probably were, like, the most managed players throughout camp. But if he can go and if he can give you a full go, maybe less of a need to either add a 10th or to swap whoever you feel like is the ninth guy. Because I don't feel great about any of the backup tackles, right? But
no.
But
although I saw it, did somebody put DeMondre Jacobs on their I think practice squad. Maybe the Cardinals?
Got it. Yeah, Cole Strange made a – and he's on a tackle, but he –
Cole Strange. Yeah, you're right. Cole Strange got claimed by the Browns. Or not claimed.
Not claimed.
Put on the Browns practice squad, rather. Yeah.
Yeah, nobody got claimed by the Patriots, no. Which is not a surprise. They don't have a great roster.
They don't even have enough to fill out a 53-man roster, never mind anybody else's roster.
Right.
So you guys can discuss 617-779-7937. What'd you make of Vrabel's, we think, annoyance yesterday, at bare minimum, some low energy. And how do you feel about Tommy Cutlets, Tommy DeVito, now on the Patriots? We'll mix in some thoughts on that, along with the Patriots as we get closer to week one. How good do we think this team can be this year? We got Red Sox pregame coming your way a little over a half hour from now, 12:05. Keefe and I are going to stick around with Joe Weil, talk some Sox on the pregame show, first pitch a little after 1 o'clock here on WEEI. Bridget, with all the latest and trending, I'm right back.
Absolutely. Jacoby Myers is better than Stephon Diggs at this point in terms of what he's putting on the field. Stephon Diggs is not a downfield threat. Neither is Jacoby Myers, but the resume over the last three seasons certainly does measure up.
That was Tommy Curran on the Pats Interference podcast with Andrew Callahan. He's talking Pats. Both of them seem to agree Jacoby Myers at this stage of his career greater than Steph Diggs.
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday, and you and I would rather have Diggs. Now, for 1 year, I'd rather have Diggs. And then next year, you might have to figure out, all right, is Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty enough? Do you have to go looking for a massive trade again? Like, what do you have to do to upgrade that spot? Maybe Kyle Williams is, like, on the fast track. But I just think Myers is a little bit safer and maybe has the higher floor, but does nowhere near has the higher ceiling.
Well, and to your point, if you're taking a bigger picture snapshot, yeah. He's not a ton younger than Diggs, by the way.
He's 3 years.
He's in his late 20s.
No.
But he is younger. I mean, if you're taking a bigger snapshot, maybe that's a way to answer it. Yeah, I know what Jacoby Myers is. I think Jacoby Myers probably just had statistically his career year.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad year. But that's a pretty average Steph Diggs year, at least prior to this knee injury. So we both agree. I would take Diggs over Jacoby Myers, but a lot of people now are starting to say that, which I found interesting.
But what I also wouldn't want is for them to acquire Jacoby Myers and then be like, we're all set at receiver, right? Like, I'm pro Myers. I'll take Myers. But if you end up, so he wants out of the Raiders. So obviously anybody that wants out wants another contract, wants a big contract. So if they bring him in and they're like, we're going to give you, you know, not Terry McLaurin money because you don't deserve that, but like way more than we're paying any of our current receivers. And then you're like, all right, there you go, Drake May, you're all set. I'd rather, and maybe this is just wishful thinking, I'd rather be a player for the next guy that spins loose. And
right.
I don't know, it's not as common as it once was. Maybe teams are learning from that. They're like, we're not going to trade away A.J. Browns anymore. We're not going to trade away Tyreek Hill.
The next disgruntled wide receiver.
Get in on that guy. And don't just sit back and be like, we got Myers.
Yeah, that's
fair. I'm shooting higher than that.
And some of those guys moved, right? Metcalf moved. Pickens moved. So some of those guys are still moving. Am I missing anyone else?
No, those are good examples.
Debo is different. Debo's older, so Debo moved.
But, like, even DK and Pickens, to me, aren't the automatic, like, A.J. Brown, Steph Diggs when he went to Buffalo.
No,
I agree. Those guys, you were like, oh, that guy's
the
nasty.
Real
and maybe
true,
Metcalf's closer to that. But
the
like,
real true elite game changers. Yeah, that is fair. I was reading Mark Daniels today at Mass Live, and he had an interesting numerical breakdown of the Patriots receivers in camp.
Okay.
So he charted everything for 18 training camp practices.
Oh, boy.
And, well, here's what he came up with for numbers. You tell me if this is a good or a bad thing for Steph Diggs. He says it was never a question as to who May or offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels saw as the Patriots' top targets. Out of every pass catcher on the team's 90-man roster, DeMario Douglas and Steph Diggs led the team in receptions with May on the field. Douglas, who Daniel says is in position for a career year. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
Okay.
Now,
what is a career year for Pop Douglas?
Yes. I think we're somewhat grading that on a curve.
Yeah.
Right?
What would a career year for him be? Like, has he even hit 800 yards? 700? Has he hit 700 yards?
No.
Okay.
So he's had two seasons. First year, he played 14 games as a rookie. He had 561 yards receiving and zero touchdowns.
But those yards, I think, for a Patriots rookie, that might have set the Patriots rookie receiver record. Is
either
that?
I think you're right.
Did he pass that Dobson?
Reception? Yeah.
Dobson had the record. So, like, the record is, like...
It's not great.
No, maybe that was under Bill, because Terry Glenn must have had way
more.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
It was not a Patriots record, but, yeah, like, but under Bill or a...
Since
2000.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe it was that. You're right.
Last year, Pop Douglas had 66 catches for 621 yards and 3 touchdowns. So, yes, I think he's in line for a career year.
Fair point.
Yeah.
He says he led the team along with Steph Diggs in receptions with May on the field. 25 receptions for Douglas and 20 for Diggs. Now, the numbers are actually bigger if you count all quarterbacks, because Diggs had a day where he is working with Josh Dobbs, which I thought was a bad sign for him, too. I wasn't here for that. I don't know if you were here for that. I forget if it was Monday, Tuesday, or if it was late last week.
Okay.
But while I was on the beach, Keith, I was reading about that. I said, oh,
yeah, nice Steph,
Diggs, Steph Diggs had 4 catches in
from
camp.
Dobbs.
I'm like, that's good. 2 from May, 2 from Dobbs.
The post or not.
So the totals were 30 for Douglas and 25 for Diggs.
Okay.
When you mix in running backs, Trevion Henderson had a bunch of catches as well. Pop Douglas getting more looks, more catches, more even, I don't want to say reps, but more production with Drake May than Steph Diggs. Good or a bad thing?
I think it's fine. Like, I can't, you're not going to say, oh, it's a good thing. I just think Steph Diggs got managed through camp. I mean, we were, you know, highlighting the Washington practice where Pop Douglas might have had his best day. And then some of the big highlight plays, Steph Diggs wasn't even out there the whole time. Right. So I'd be curious on even like percentage for when they were out there. I feel like I bet Pop Douglas got more reps.
You think he had more pure reps?
Yeah. So like, maybe the percentage of the ball getting thrown to you was a little bit closer, but somebody's going to have to be the second leading receiver. Hell, somebody might have to be the leading receiver, not named Steph Diggs, right? He might not even be the team's leading receiver. I still am hopeful that he will be, but maybe their numbers will be a little bit more similar. I mean, Steph Diggs, going back to his days in Minnesota, obviously very split between he and Thielen. Then he goes to Buffalo, where he is the guy. But now he's a little bit older. He goes to Houston, where ideally they're like, he's going to be one of 3 guys. And so the Patriots start this camp where you're like, I don't know who those guys are going to be. So I'll spin it positive for Pop Douglas. Like, maybe Pop Douglas hits a 700-800-yard receiving, and Steph Diggs is right there with him. And then that's half of Drake May's total, give or take.
Yeah, I just... The more I think about this, again, him getting any reps with Dobbs, bad sign.
Yeah, it's odd.
It doesn't mean he's going to have a terrible season, but that is a bad sign. Why is he working with Josh Dobbs?
I was like, the last guys that were working with Dobbs were like Baker and Chisholm. And
Yeah, so I don't think that's a great sign. And then if Douglas and Booty are standing out, Booty was the clear-cut third guy in the receiver room with receptions with May and preseason production and training camp, or camp production, I should say, not counting the preseason games. If Booty and Pop Douglas are standing out and Diggs has started to fade in, I just maintain there should be – if Steph Diggs is Steph Diggs.
Yeah.
And he really is better than Jacoby Myers, which we both think. Not everybody feels that way. Curran and Callahan among them. Then there should be separation between him and the other receivers. And I would say in camp, doesn't close the book on it. He could still do it in the regular season. But in camp, there wasn't the separation that I expected there.
So I wonder what his – We got into this, I think, towards the end of yesterday's show. His snap count, like his percentages,
yep.
Steph Diggs.
I think so, he'll be managed to start. That's what I think. I know I don't think you agree with that, but that's what I think.
Well, it's funny, though, because the way they use receivers, and even though they cut 2 yesterday, they still have 6 on the roster. I don't think they're going to go 4 wide very often.
Me either.
I'm not even sure how much they go 3 wide, but let's say they do that a little bit. I don't think they're going to have... like Mac Hollins play or like be active but not play, or like Booty be active and not play. Like, I think there's 5 guys, because don't you want to run a few deep balls with Kyle Williams?
Yeah,
like, I think
maybe.
I think 5 guys probably play, but you have so much 2 wide receiver set that he's not going to get 95% of the snaps, which is like what he did in Buffalo. Now, we were looking up last season, the 8 games.
I think he could get to that number later in the year if he's healthy.
Yeah.
But the first month,
yeah,
I bet Holland steals some of his snaps and Booty steals some of his snaps. And you're right, maybe they have Kyle Williams come in and run some go routes. Like, I don't know. But I'd imagine from those 4 receivers, they're all getting quite a bit of reps. And if it's 2 wide receiver sets,
yeah,
Diggs may not be on the field for some of that. And maybe they take him out on 3 wide receiver sets. I don't know. But I bet he's managed early in the year because they started to manage him throughout camp in the preseason.
His best year, which was the COVID year, 2020, he played 88.7% of the offensive snaps. The last game of the season, they really, like, reduced his role. So let's just call it 90% of the snaps. Last year, it was closer between like 75, 80, 85. So I'm with you. I bet to start the year, that number is a little bit lower. But should he at least lead the team in receiver snaps, right? Like if you jumble everybody around, I don't think Pop Douglas is playing 90% of the snaps. Or, you know, last year you saw some weird numbers, right? Didn't like Booty have a few games where he's like out there like the whole time because they didn't really have anybody? And it was like
by the end of the year, Diggs should lead them in snaps. If he doesn't do it right away, fine. But in terms of like snap percentage and how much he's out there, assuming any health for Diggs, he should be the guy leading them at the end of the year. So based on all that, Keith, I know you're at 10 wins. I don't think that number's moved. I'm at 9 wins. That number hasn't moved. How good do you think the team can be as we head into week one, 2 Sundays from now against the Raiders? We asked us about the Red Sox earlier, like what sort of ceiling do they have? What do we think for the Patriots? How good can this team be this year?
I think they can be solid. And I think they could be certainly light years better than they were a year ago. And I do kind of put a lot of like the win total thing on the schedule. And because I know that the argument can be made the other way where, well, when the Raiders and the Steelers and the Panthers and the Browns and the Titans play the Patriots, they're thinking, all right, here's our chance for a win. So like, I'm not saying they're this world beater team. I kind of think they're closer to like the 2021 Patriots where they could have a solid regular season. Maybe, you know, Mike Vrabel and his defense can sort of beat up on some of the bad quarterbacks they play. They somehow grind their way to the playoffs, and then they're the team. Every year there's one or two teams that you're like, they're quote-unquote a playoff team, but they get demolished in the playoffs, like the 2021 Patriots.
The Tomlin Steelers for the last 5 years. Yeah,
I think it could be that. Like, I could see them getting into the playoffs, then it's like, all right, here's Lamar Jackson. You're like, damn. Like, well, it was a good year. You made it.
We don't have that.
Yeah. So, like, I still have high hope, and I know, like, listening to the, like, Hart and Ted yesterday, they're, like, taking wins away by the minute. They're like, this team's way worse than we thought that it was.
Although Andy Hart also thinks they're going to win more games in October than the Red Sox, so it's...
Maybe so. Is he down on both?
It's a neat trick he's trying to pull.
Yeah, what the hell? He's trying to throw the needle on that.
He can't be down on both. He wanted Chapman to win MVP yesterday. So,
I saw Cy Young votes. He wanted MVP.
He wanted MVP votes.
I'll throw him a vote.
Yeah,
I get 10. I get 10. Right, 10 votes.
I think that's how it works. Yeah, you get 10 names on a ballot. You'll give him one of yours.
I'll give him one of my 10.
I got
as of right now. The season's not over.
These MVP votes are fluid.
Yeah.
Similar to tiers.
I'm gonna see how Roman Anthony finishes. then I'll change it. But no, maybe this is going to come back to bite me and they're going to win 6 games, but I just don't see it. I think they're going to be smarter. I think they're going to win games on defense. I think they are going to be able to run the ball. I'm a little worried that with a team that doesn't have a huge room for error, I don't have a lot of confidence in the kicker. Not to go full kicker talk.
No,
but
you said this yesterday. You're like, they're going to lose a game because of the kicker.
And that stings because... You're going to play a lot of close games, right? Like Mayo is even puffing his chest out about the close games, even though they lost almost every close game. I think they win more of the close games than they lose, but that is sort of a part of it that I'm not super confident
How's
in.
How's this for a good goal? From $10 shake in the Twitch chat.
All right.
The Pats are a quote-unquote frisky team this year.
Frisky. No, this has been my barometer. No, frisky's good.
Yep.
In the hunt.
Yeah,
in the hunt is the best metric.
Those are probably pretty similar, right? If you're in the hunt, you're a frisky team.
So you'll be sitting on the couch, you'll be having a couple of pumpkin beers, and you'll be watching football.
I won't be doing that.
No. Actually, you know what? It won't be pumpkin beers. It'll be Christmas ales.
Yeah,
you'll be having some Christmas ales.
Nice winter ale.
A winter ale.
Yeah.
Late in the season, snow outside, you're sitting on the couch, and all of a sudden they pop up the graphic. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo are like, here are the playoff teams, here's who's in, and here's who's in the hunt.
Yeah.
As long as the Patriots are in the hunt.
The Patriots have their own tiebreaker entry.
Because there's like, you're like, there's the AFC, and you're like, there's 13 teams on there. There's only 3 missing. Like, they can't be one of the 3 missing. Like, they're not even involved.
Which is what they've been the last
few
years.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. The last few years, you're like, where's New England? Oh, they can't even include them in the graphic?
Oh, they're out.
They can't add one more team to the graphic. Like, no. They're a joke of a team.
Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island. Hello, Matt.
Hey, no, I'm with you, Keith. Stop drafting kickers. Please stop drafting kickers. Now, I'm just disappointed. Swinson didn't make the team. That's a position of need and depth.
Who?
And you got, you know, 7 or 8.
Swinson. He's back.
He's on the practice squad, Matt.
He's on the practice squad, Matt. He's back.
Oh, okay. But it just seems to me like just a little, you know, trouble prioritizing when you have all these mid receivers. And, you know, you see how that works out. Thanks.
Okay. All right, Matt. Well, they did get rid of a couple of the mid receivers, so they're down to 6.
Braden Swinson fan. I didn't know that about Matt Ryan. Yeah, he's a Swinson guy.
Yeah, SEC.
Yeah.
good conference. But he has six receivers on the roster right now, which is more like you can wrap your head around that. Eight was like a little jarring.
Eight was a few too many with
one on IR, you're like, all right, that's a lot. That's a lot of wideouts.
617-779-7937. We're going to wrap things up with some thoughts on our fantasy football draft, Keith.
Tonight, live stream.
Where can people see that?
At Dork Podcast.
Yeah.
I swallowed my tongue. On YouTube.
Okay.
And at Jones and Keefe on Twitter.
Okay.
So the two places to stream it.
So you can watch that live.
Hashtag Dork Podcast.
There it is. You can watch that live tonight.
Yes.
9 o'clock.
Yes.
We're going to get in there. We're getting out of here early because we have day baseball.
Woo!
Crochet day.
Yeah. Jinx.
Oh, I owe you a Coke.
Jones can't talk the rest of the show.
So we will get to Red Sox pregame. We're going to hang out with Joe Weil, give you some thoughts. Coming up a little after high noon, first pitch a little after 1 o'clock here on WEEI. We have some thoughts on what we're going to do for this draft.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and we also need to fill in the blanks that Jeff Cirillo left us.
We got to figure out the last two. Yeah. We got to figure out the last two picks in tonight's draft, too. Yep. We'll do that next.
All right, boys. Welcome to your fantasy draft. Randomized as much as I can anyway. All right, we're going to go Keith 1, Laney 2, Park 3, Dan Ball 4, Brian 5, Jones 6, Derp 7, Nick 8, Fitzy 9, Stitz and Ted 10. Oh, I messed this up.
As I tweeted last night,
amazing,
about Jeff Cirillo,
two-time random player and two-time All-Star.
He decided our draft, most of our draft order.
10 of the 12 are locked in.
I'd say we got our $9 worth.
Yo, yeah.
I mean, your $9 worth.
My $9.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, I didn't.
Worth every penny.
I'll Venmo you. But yeah, I'd say.
That's my treat.
I'd say we got our $9 worth out of that.
Yeah, he crushed it. And so there's we got to figure out Shyman Davey sometime between now and the draft. So at 9 o'clock tonight, we're going to live stream it. You can watch it on YouTube, Dork Podcast, or just the Jones and Keefe Twitter as well. And so 9 o'clock the draft starts. Maybe a few minutes before that we'll be live streaming at that point. So we do have the divisions broke down. You ready for this?
Yeah, so I didn't realize. I thought our whole show was in the same division. I didn't realize we're not.
So what happened?
I didn't pay close enough attention.
I think I could edit it, but what happens is just order. It went ping-ponged as people signed up.
Got it.
So that's how. So it's very random that way.
Got it.
The Glenn Ordway division.
Okay.
Is you and me.
Nice.
And Lanny.
Nice.
Dan Ball.
Okay.
Fitzy and Scheim.
Okay.
Feels kind of like the more stacked division, if we're being honest.
So Jones, Keefe, Lanny, Ball, Fitzy, Scheim. That's win. So I got myself for at least five wins in the division.
Five division wins.
Yeah.
The Dale Arnold division is Andy Hart.
Win.
Stitz and Ted.
Win.
Davey.
Win.
Terp, Nick,
win.
Brian.
Win. Yeah, okay.
So I, of course, have the number one pick.
Yeah, of course you do.
Well, Jeff Cirillo, it was random. It was completely random.
Yeah, he seems on top of things, so that makes sense.
He didn't scroll all the way down, hence why the bottom two guys were not included.
I also don't know how much he randomized it.
All right, so now Nick is mad.
I'm not mad, but I'm just saying
Nick, you're in the easy division. I piped down over there.
Yeah. You're in the cakewalk division.
Yeah, you're in the Dale division.
You have no problem there.
Yeah.
So Scheim's theory today was Jeff Cirillo didn't know how to pronounce Scheim, so he skipped it, and then it was like,
it's like they're going to cancel me.
Pull the plug.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm out. I'm done.
That's not bad.
Now, you and I want to say Nick and Terp do more like Dynasty and like Keeper League. So the standard 12-team snake draft, you haven't really done many of these.
I haven't done.
In a while.
I have not done an actual draft.
Yeah.
We auction. Brag.
Brag, yeah. Sick brag.
Yeah, so that's what we do in my league.
This is standard 12-team snake style.
I haven't done a...
Nice.
Maybe the best style.
Wait, you're not scared to do this draft?
I haven't had a snake.
A little nervous.
I haven't had a snake in some time, Keith. So I don't know how it's going to go.
It's exciting.
It's a very different format than how I usually draft. Not to make excuses.
Yeah.
I'm feeling good about my odds.
What is the best pick? Many people would say it's the first pick, but
I'm going to tell you, I don't like six.
It might not be.
I don't like six. Two in the middle.
I think the worst pick.
I'm going to be behind. I'm either going to be starting trends that I didn't want to start or I'm going to be behind every trend.
Tight end run.
Yeah.
You got tight end run.
I'm going to miss out on every tight end or I'm going to take one like a round before everybody else. I
know you're high on Kelsey.
I'm a Kelce guy.
I know you are.
Yeah.
I know he's high on Brian Robinson, so.
Yep.
Yeah, take Brian Robinson.
He's already tanked one of my teams.
No,
Brian
Robinson.
He's off my board.
I think 8 and 9 are the worst picks because I actually don't mind 10, 11, 12. Yep. In the years that I've done it, I like the sort of back-to-back picks. You can get,
you know, I think it varies year to year. You just think in general.
In general, I like it. I think some years there's the, oh, I got to have the first pick. Other years, you don't want the first pick. This year, I have no problem with it.
Yeah, I take it.
I'll take it.
Yeah, I'd feel good about the number one.
So we're doing 6-point passing touchdown, which I like, and we're doing half-point PPR.
Does this league has a defense and kicker, too. That's another thing my league doesn't do.
Yeah.
So I haven't done an actual draft.
Get your defense early because they're going to go.
Is one flex? Defense and a kicker?
Yeah, so two backs, two receivers.
Should probably look at the rules before
tonight. Well, I was going to say, I should.
They're all available to you.
I got time after the show. Yeah. It's an early show today. We're done in, you know, the next handful of minutes before we stick around with Joe Weil for some Red Sox pregame. I have time to catch up on all the rules and regulations.
That's true.
Yeah.
Do you want to? So how should we determine Shimon Davies' pick? I don't know if it really matters.
Coin flip? You got a coin?
I don't. I don't have a coin.
It's happened on Always Sunny. I think it was Frank's first episode when they got back from the strip club.
Do you want
to
go?
They were trying to flip a coin, but no one had a coin. They broke off a piece of the wheelchair.
Should we go through some of the team names? Are you in on team? Did you change your team name yet?
No, I'm the cheetah.
Oh, you're the cheetah?
Yeah, I'm
the cheetah. Yeah, that's because Wiggy went with.
Yes.
So I'm going.
Cheeseburger Club.
I'm Cheeseburger Club.
Oh, you're Cheeseburger Club.
I'm Cheeseburger Club.
Nice.
Yeah. So let's see. Did you go, Nick? What's your team name?
No highly offensive ones, are there?
Well,
a reverse Paul Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, someone
Nick's going reverse Paul Brown.
Oh, nice job.
Yeah, Nick's going reverse Paul Brown.
Nice.
Nick Stevens, Fitzy, is going with the bag grabbers. So that's sort of a grab bag.
The bag grabbers.
That's a little twist on that.
I like that.
Yeah. Lanny's is... no, it's...
Can it not be red?
I think it's fine.
Not air safe.
Well, no, it is. It was like, remember the WNBA had a little bit of an issue with things getting thrown on the court?
Sure.
So it's the Flying Green Marital-Aids.
Oh, the Flying that's Green Marital-Aids. Yeah, that's air friendly.
But then some of these, if you sign up for ESPN, rather than just being like Rich Keefe's team.
I don't feel great about these teams. So you get like generic teams?
They throw you a name. Now, these guys all have to change.
What do they give you?
Brian's best team.
Ooh, good alliteration.
Andrew's astounding team.
Oh, so these all have alliteration. So who's
Justin's scary team?
Wait,
Ryan's remarkable team. That's what it says.
Wait, how come all of them have alliteration except Terp?
Stiz and Terp are the master blasters. I think that's
Stitz and Ted.
Stitz and Ted.
You said Terp. They're the master blasters.
No, that's what it says.
Okay.
Dan Ball is the.
Watch your profanity.
No, hold on. Dan Ball is the McDaniels and Hart Visor Club.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good burn. They love visors.
Yeah.
I think that's everybody, right?
Boom! Roasted!
Oh, no. And then Shime is David Ortiz.
Oh, good.
Yeah, David Ortiz.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
So looking forward to that.
Well, I have some research to do between now.
David Ortiz.
Yeah, you want some league info here? Is that what you're looking for?
Well, no. I'm just saying I got to figure out like where I'm taking guys and you know what the rules are and things like that. But I got time to square all that away, Keith.
It is. Now, I was excited to see this because this is a big point of contention. If somebody blasts a 60-yard field goal,
You
better believe you're getting 6 points.
Oh, no, are we?
You're getting 6 points.
That's what it should be.
It should be.
No, it shouldn't be that way.
70, it should be 7 for a 70-yarder.
I just think you shouldn't
lose. 7!
Yeah, it should.
I just think you shouldn't lose a point when you go over 60. That's what I think.
It's a bit of a give-take situation.
Yeah.
So you are going to lose that point, but you had an opportunity for 6.
I didn't want him to attempt it.
So when I'm watching that game, it's like a 7-point swing.
It's like a touchdown.
Because you're like, he's
either, right.
It's the same as a touchdown. That
it
makes
is.
Sense.
Yeah. It should
That's
be.
Good logic. Yeah.
Kickers are very important.
No. So what do we want to do for Davey and Shime? Just pick one.
How do we determine it? Yeah. I don't have a coin.
You just pick.
Should we pick? Should we
say it out loud?
You can write names on a
should
paper and you pick it out of a hat.
Should we do a randomizer?
Yeah. That worked for Jeff Cirillo.
Should we have Terp? Can Terp do a randomizer in time before we get off the air? Do a randomizer.
He has 1 minute.
You have 1 minute to do a randomizer. You spin the wheel and it spins itself.
Sure,
I could do that.
Yeah, we got time after the show. We could. Knock.
We don't have any time after the show. You're talking about. We're going to be sticking around for Red Sox pregame.
That's a good point.
We're going to be a part of the pregame.
We're not going to have time after the show. You're right. After we do the pregame show, we'll have time to do that.
Right,
we will be sticking around with Joe Weil for some Red Sox chatter. After a nice win.
All right, I'm spinning it right now.
Oh, good.
Jones is the witness. Jones is the witness. The 11th pick is going to go to Shime.
David Ortiz.
Yeah, David Ortiz.
All right, he gets the 11th
pick. The official randomizer.
Now Davey really hates Jeff Cirillo.
Yeah, he does. Oh, he's so mad at Jeff Cirillo. Although the last pick, I don't mind the last pick.
Yeah, you said that.
It's fine. It's good. In a snake draft, it's the first pick in the second round.
He's doing too much to distract from the fact that he just somehow randomly got the number one pick. He's like, well, I took the last pick.
I was a little.
I like the last pick.
I did.
Oh, now we have a discrepancy.
Uh-oh. Oh, is Terp's doing one? Oh, no, Terp, oh, why'd you do that?
Terp.
Now you got to do it for another a tie. Time. Best two out of
another
three.
Tie. Oh, boy.
All right, no, Terp, spin it again. This one counts. This one counts. Spin it again as we get out of here. Terp, spin it again. If you can hear me, spin it again.
This is the one that counts?
Spin it again.
All right, we had a tie. This is the one that counts.
This is the real one.
Best of three. It's just like the baseball playoff.
David Ortiz.
Oh,
it is David Ortiz.
Scrim.
Scrimmy.
Good for him.
Scrim.
All right. Okay.
That's fun.
All right. Good stuff.
I'll update that accordingly.
That's tonight.
Very good.
9 o'clock on the Dork YouTube channel, Jones and Keefe on Twitter as well.
I already
got
some pumpkin beers for it.
Excellent. Yep. We're sticking around with Joe Weil, Red Sox pregame right now.